From Cortland, New York, America's smallest small city, it's the Nerd Bomber Podcast, featuring the best news, entertainment, and related discussion that pop culture has to offer. And now, your hosts and experts in anti-social media, Just Jamie and your friend Claude! Ladies, gentlemen, millennials, welcome to the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I am your friend Claude, here as always with
Just Jamie.
And on this episode, we're going to be reimagining Super Smash Brothers using pop culture characters. But first, I was going to tell you a coronavirus joke, but you probably won't get it. Obviously, these are increasingly serious times, so poking fun wherever we can seems to be even more important now than ever. And while we will be, of course, addressing all of the rampancy of the coronavirus and how it's affecting everybody's lives, we don't really intend to spend the entirety of the show doing that. But since it is dominating the headlines, it's time for
3, 2, 1,
pop.
3-2-1 Pop is the part of the show where we take three current pop culture headlines and rank them as we see fit. And this week, 3-2-1 Pop is brought to you by COVID-19. So kicking us off at number three is...
Coronavirus has caused a lot of production delays in film and television. So in the movies, that's going to cause... Obviously, that's going to push back release dates to movies that are still in production. And I don't know how it's going to affect TV, because TV release schedules to production schedules are, I don't fully understand how that works myself. So I would imagine that there's going to be longer seasons of repeats before they kind of can cycle back in when things eventually go back into production. Here's a list of some of the things that are kind of paused right now. Some of the more tentpole pop culture things along the way. The Batman, the new Robert Pattinson movie that's made waves recently with looks at the new Batmobile and the Batsuit, which we could go on about, but maybe we'll avoid for this episode.
Oh, man.
So that production was halted. Fantastic Beasts 3 will not begin production on March 17th as planned. The Matrix 4 has halted production in Berlin. They had already been shooting in San Francisco. Jurassic World Dominion has halted production. It had been underway in Hawaii since February. The new Stallone movie, Samaritan, began a minimum 2-week production hiatus in Atlanta on the 14th.
Oh, man.
The new Guillermo del Toro movie has halted production. It's called Nightmare Alley, by the way. A reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, starring Josh Gad and Rick Moranis, just called Shrunk, has halted production. A Disney Plus Home Alone reboot has halted production, if I could spit it out.
Ooh. Good.
The next Marvel thing, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Rings, has halted production. And Disney's live-action Little Mermaid has halted production. And then a ton of TV shows are on hiatus right now as well. The Neighborhood, New Amsterdam, Next, The Price is Right, The Resident, Riverdale, SNL, Schooled, SEAL Team, Supergirl, Supernatural, Superstore, Survivor, SWAT, The Talk, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Young Sheldon, Empire, FBI. I could go on and on. There's a lot of TV shows that are also on hiatus right now because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's a comprehensive list. I guess it stands to reason that most, if not all, things in production would be affected in some way. However, let us not take hiatus and move on to number two.
Coronavirus. Not only have productions been halted, but release dates for things that have already finished being produced have also been moved. So among those things that have been moved are My Spy. The previous release date for that was March 13th. That's been pushed back to April, so that's only a month difference. Peter Rabbit 2, that was going to be released April 3rd. That's being pushed back to August of this year. A Quiet Place Part 2 from Paramount, which is kind of a big deal because the first movie made a lot of money. The original release date for that was March 20th. The new release date for that is to be determined.
Interesting. Yeah, there's been promos everywhere for that.
Yeah, they've been pushing it pretty hard, and now we don't know when that's going to come out. The new Fast and Furious movie, F9, The Fast Saga, The original release date for that was May 22nd of this year. That's being pushed back an entire year to April 2nd of 2021.
Wow.
Yep. Mulan, the original release date for that was March 27th of this year. That's being pushed back. New release date to be determined.
Oh, man.
I was looking forward to that one.
I really was, too, honestly.
The New Mutants. This poor movie. After many, many... this movie was originally going to be released 2 years ago. They were finally going to put it out April 3rd of this year, and now the new release date has been pushed back, and it is to be determined.
The little movie that couldn't.
It really is the case. I mean, so those are some of the more important ones in film that... things were going to come out. There's a big one, actually, that I missed, and that is No Time to Die, the new 007 movie, which has been pushed back as well. So these companies are making a lot of decisions. A lot of it, especially with No Time to Die, they were pretty upfront that it was a financial decision.
Yeah.
They were worried about turnout at theaters.
Right. Especially in China.
Right, yeah. So, which, yeah, that movie, that franchise has a big presence over there. You know, I think that the secondary... thing to say about these movies not coming out is that you're discouraging large gatherings of people in theaters and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, the studios and the corporations can lean on that reasoning, but the real reason is people just aren't going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to wait till more people are going to buy more tickets.
Absolutely.
Well, let us not wait and move right to number one.
Coronavirus. So the next thing with coronavirus is that some companies have actually made a move to push some of their films, especially, to streaming services quicker than they would ordinarily. Among these changes, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is going to be out. Actually, I think it is out as we record this. And Frozen 2. Both of those will be on Disney Plus. Frozen 2 was actually moved up 3 months from its original release date to streaming. So that's kind of a big change. And some more significant ones. Universal Pictures is going to release its current theatrical movies, The Invisible Man and The Hunt, to audiences this week. So that's kind of a big change, too. You never really see a company who's making movies specifically for theatrical release with the intent that they are going to have a successful theatrical run release movies digitally or into streaming services simultaneously. So that's a move that Universal Pictures is doing. What they're also doing is they're going to have Trolls World Tour immediately available for streaming. That's also going to have a concurrent theatrical run, which instead of being pushed back, was bumped up to take the place of some of these movies they're depending on more.
Right.
So when something like No Time to Die gets pushed back to next year, whenever that's going to come out, Trolls was moved up into that space just to take the spot, just to sort of hold the spot. I don't think they're really hoping for a huge financial windfall from that movie. But nevertheless, it'll also be out for streaming, which is good. Kids are home from school, etc. So it gives people some more options and things to look forward to since they shouldn't and, well, since maybe they can't and maybe they shouldn't be going to movie theaters at this point.
Yeah, the idea of releasing a movie theatrically and for home streaming at the same time has been talked about and toyed with for years, but I don't think ever actually executed.
Right.
And it's interesting to see that something like this is what it takes to finally cause it to happen.
I mean, a couple movies who the bulk of their purpose was to be streaming movies have had limited theatrical runs.
Right.
As almost a novelty.
More of a promotional thing.
Yeah. But I think this is more a direct reaction to something that's happening in the world, which is interesting to see them having to give up on the idea that we're going to make money on these the way we want to. We have to adapt.
As is the corporate American way. That'll bring 3-2-1 Pop to a close for this week. Now it's time for the main event. Given the widespread need for all of us to stay inside and occupy our time within the walls of our own homes, video games are getting their day in the sun, as they're one of the best ways to pass the time. And so today, we've decided to talk about our own Super Smash Bros. Showdown, featuring 4 picks from each of us from all walks of pop culture. Jamie, would you like to start us off?
Sure. So I kind of came up with the idea for this topic, not to claim too much glory here.
All right. Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, but these are the ground rules, right? We can't pick any existing video game characters because the Smash Brothers series can use any of those at any time anyway. And we are trying to stay away from established superhero comic book characters.
Right.
Right.
So I tried to go outside of those. So my first pick is from a TV show. So this is a TV pick. All of my picks managed to be from different genres of pop culture. Not totally on purpose, but I was very impressed with myself anyway.
Nice balance.
Thank you. So my first pick is from a TV show that aired from 1976 to 1978, starting on ABC and moving to NBC. And it is Jamie Summers, The Bionic Woman. So The Bionic Woman, of course, spun off from The $6 Million Man. I already said it ran from 76 to 78. 58 episodes, three seasons, that is, so not bad. And I just think it would be cool to see this character from the golden 70s in this kind of a setting.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Characters like that haven't really been utilized in the types of quote-unquote modern media that we have available. And obviously, fans of stuff like that from the days when it was airing for the first run, they're not getting any younger, and I think they would absolutely appreciate the opportunity to control a character like that.
Yeah, and I think also you get to say, like, hey, there was actually some cool pop culture stuff from before the 80s,
right,
that you can look at, because I think that gets a little bit overlooked as well.
Well, my first choice is not from before the 80s. However, it's a sort of similar idea. But I should say first that my picks, all four of them, are sort of adhering to a theme that I just came up with after I made the first two and realized they shared this trait. My choices are all characters that also have a strong sidekick association.
Okay.
So each one of my characters is going to be kind of relying on a sidekick for their special attack / power. And the first one I have is Michael Knight with the ability to call on Kit from Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
Of course.
That's right. Knight Rider was an NBC show from 1982 to 1986, running for 90 episodes, and most famous for introducing the world to the Hoff.
I definitely have good memories of this one. I enjoyed Knight Rider as a kid quite a bit. When you look back on it now, I guess what appealed to me, it had this cool sci-fi aesthetic, the car.
Yeah.
And the tractor trailer that it would drive up into.
Yep.
But so much of the budget was there that there wasn't much budget anywhere else.
Yeah, Michael Knight didn't really have any real powers or abilities, but he had charisma and the car.
Yeah, that's all you need.
So, I don't know how he'd fare in Super Smash Brothers.
You get your automatic video game powers. Everybody's a martial arts expert. It's
right,
fine.
Exactly. And that will round out my first pick.
All right. I guess it comes back to me. So, my first pick was from the world of TV, which, by the way, I did not credit. Lindsay Wagner was the star of The Bionic Woman, starring as Jamie Summers. So, just to give her her due, Lindsay Wagner. So, my first pick was from TV. My next one is from music, and I have chosen Eddie, the mascot from Iron Maiden.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Wow.
There's so much cool stuff you could do here because a lot of the special attacks in Super Smash Bros. Dominate the screen.
Right.
So not only do you have the different aesthetic choices from the different album covers.
Right.
You know, like Power Slave was Egyptian. Then you have the Colonia. You know, there's a lot of things you could do there.
Yep.
But also as a special effect, special attack, that is, you have the band. And I just think that it would be cool. You know, you activate the special attack for Eddie and you end up with Iron Maiden on stage in a screen that looks like something out of a rock band.
Right.
You know, you don't have the guitar controller. You just hit your whatever buttons you have on whatever system you're on. I think that would be a cool, like, sort of a 5 or 10 second, you know, rock band slash, what was the other one? Guitar Hero.
Right.
Kind of recreation or homage as the special attack for Eddie. So that's kind of what I imagined for that one.
Yeah. There's really nothing to add to that. That's pretty tailor-made for a concept like this.
I think so.
It'd be really fun. And, you know, the character like Eddie. Even Eddie, the character of Eddie is probably more at home in a Mortal Kombat type game where you can get really kind of gruesome.
Right.
But, like, it's so adaptable and so long-lasting that it could work in any fighting environment for sure.
Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. Well, my picks totally accidentally kind of line up with yours.
All right.
You went with the action television show, and then I did, and you went with kind of horror musical figure, and sort of die. I'm picking for my number two a combination of Eric Draven and his crow from the movie The Crow, also the comic book series The Crow.
In a world without justice, one man was chosen to protect the innocent and to make the wrong things right. Friday, May 13th.
It's not a good day to be a bad guy.
The film the critics are calling dazzling and fiercely hypnotic.
Bye-bye, Bertie.
Brandon Lee is sensational. A triumph. Brandon Lee.
I love you.
The Crow, rated R.
Yeah, flirting with the rules here.
Flirting with it. You know, it was the comic predated the movie, but was so underground that it really was the movie that kind of broke it into most people's awareness.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, through the portrayal of Brandon Lee, I mean, imagining that version of it in a fighting game is just, it has to happen.
Yeah. And kind of similar to Eddie, I mean, I think it would really work in a Mortal Kombat type setting.
Sure.
But I also like it for this.
Yeah, because you can adapt it to various levels of intensity. And it just would be amazing to imagine all the things that he can do as a character, and then the ways that you could design crow attacks, and, you know, the ways he could call on the crow to come in and be his, like, special move to put him over the top.
Absolutely.
And, of course, he was... The character is a rock guitarist, so it could also have those kinds of musical-related imageries and things.
Yep.
Back to you.
That's perfect. Okay. So my next one, so again, I went TV first, and then I went music. So now I'm going to literature, and I have picked Paul Atreides from the novel Dune.
No. The most widely read, talked about, and cherished masterpiece of a generation comes to the screen. Dino De Laurentiis presents Dune.
I think two great houses few need.
We will kill until no Harkonnen breathes Arrakeen air.
I will kill him!
Dune, rated PG-13. Now at select theaters, check newspapers for locations and showtimes.
Mm. Now, Dune is my favorite novel. This is kind of going a little bit obscure, maybe for some people. In the movie, he basically attains superhuman power, like telepathic abilities and things of that nature. But the reason I thought this was a cool idea, of course, you have basically a human character who would come in, and again, everybody's a martial arts expert, so that
right.
he gets video game powers in quotes automatically. The special attack comes in because in Dune, the Dune novels are famous for the sandworms,
right?
The, you know, several hundred meter long giant sandworms. And then you have, within that, you have some really cool visual special attacks using this giant sandworm that would take up the whole screen.
Right.
And I just imagine some cool stuff with that.
sand just raining down around it and stuff like that.
I mean, you could move the fight into the worm. That's kind of a thing you could do aesthetically speaking.
Absolutely.
So that's my third pick from literature. Paul Moadib, otherwise known as Paul Atreides, from House Atreides, from the Dune franchise.
Yeah, great pick. This is where the kind of matching your picks veers off.
We diverge.
And I am going with, you know, again, sort of skirting the rules here. there's no way around it. I'm going with He-Man and Battle Cat.
From the land of Eternia comes the greatest force for good the universe has ever seen. His name is Atom, but by the powers of his magic sword, he's transformed into the most powerful man alive. It's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, defending all of Eternia from the evil powers of...
Skeletor!
He-Man, moves to weekday mornings at 7, starting Monday on TV 40.
Yeah, it had to happen. It had to happen from
it's
one
tailor-made.
Of us.
It's tailor-made. I mean, come on. This Super Smash Brothers with pop culture characters, how do you not?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
There's so many options.
I was tempted to go Lion-O myself.
Right.
As I am wont to do to your He-Man, I am Lion-O. So.
I thought of Lion-O too, but then he didn't really fit my sidekick motif, and then right. I really feel like Snarf was it.
Yeah, that's as close as you get.
Yeah.
But he could call, now see, I'm going to go off the rails here, because you have Lion-O, then you could do special attacks with the Ghost Jaga coming in.
Sure.
Like, there's some potential there. But that's sorry, true. We're not talking about Lion-O, we're talking about He-Man. Please proceed.
Well, it would just be kind of everything you'd expect it to be. You know, He-Man limited to his basic video game powers to begin with, and then pulling out the sword and calling down the thunder, and then when it gets real rough, he can have Battle Cat come in and, you know, just claw the shit out of somebody, I guess. It's all, you know, you can have him riding across the screen and, you know, jumping onto somebody, or you can have the Castle Grayskull in the background,
oh,
the transformation
absolutely.
Scene, you know, all of it.
Yeah, I think I remember that from the show when Prince Adam turned into He-Man and then asked Battle Cat to go claw the shit out of the other guy.
It wasn't often that they went to that well, but you know, I think the Christmas special is the first time you saw that.
The other thing to consider with all these picks is that, you know, in the regular Smash Brothers games, the fight settings are, you know, homages to the different games that they come from. So when you're coming up with a character, you have battle settings, which again, that just adds to the aesthetic. So an Eternia to fight the battle in is
right.
a cool motif.
Yeah. Yeah, how there hasn't been a standalone He-Man video game in that way yet is mind-boggling. All right, back to you. Bring
right.
it home.
All right, so my last one is from the world of film. And this, you know, if you know me and you know what I like, this one's going to seem on the nose, much as He-Man and the Crow were for you.
Sure.
This one is the owner and operator of the Pork Chop Express himself, Jack Burton, from Big Trouble in Little China.
So you think you've seen it all? Well, you've never met Jack Burton.
Who? Jack Burton. Me.
And you've never been to Little China.
You make one move.
Big Trouble in Little China. Adventure doesn't come any bigger. Rated PG-13. Starts Wednesday, July 2nd at a theater near you.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
And again, it's the aesthetics that you get with this character. Jack
right.
Burton's a great character. You know, again, in a fighting video game like this, he just gets basic video game powers.
Right.
But again, you have really cool background motifs with the sort of fantasy sewer of this underground magical Asian world that they come into. And for special attacks, you have not only do you have David Lo Pan,
yep.
but you also have the Three Storms, which were the bad guys, one of which, if he didn't inspire Raiden, whoever created Raiden, the video game character, says they weren't inspired by Big Trouble in Little China, they're lying.
Absolutely.
Because he's absolutely that character. And so that was like the big thing that pushed it over the edge for me, was that you have all of these extras that come with, like, Jack Burton on his own is just kind of a regular human guy.
Right.
But so much other stuff comes with it in terms of that movie. That's what made me think that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely ideal for this kind of use.
And also all like the witty one-liner type stuff. It's
right.
all in the reflexes and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Him like delivering a soliloquy as he drives down the road, you know, about old Jack Burton and the Pork Chop Express, blah, blah, blah. all that stuff. You could be hearing that stuff as the game is playing, which again adds to the whole experience.
Sure.
All right, that's my last pick. Now it's time for yours.
Well, mine also comes from the world of movies and is probably not a real big surprise. I have picked J/Chronic with the ability to utilize Silent Bob/Blunt Man.
What up? I'm Jay, and this is my head of life mate, Silent Bob. Welcome to our palatial Hollywood estate. I bet you're wondering how two scumbags can afford such a place. Well, I'll tell you, our fat clerks animated cash. The fat salary, we got mad money. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about these six episodes. There's six of them. Six. But right now, we're going to talk about the first one. So check it out. We're going to do it right now. Peace. 9999999. Let's get to work, asshole.
Now, maybe the specifics of the marijuana-related elements of their characters would probably have to be altered or eliminated entirely in this particular usage. But basically, it's four characters for the price of two.
Right.
And it's a lot similar to the Jack Burton use, where it's more about the entertainment value of them in their like regular versions, and then they can call on the powers of their kind of superhero alter egos, and you know, I guess cover the screen in pot leaves and stuff. I don't know, but it's the same kind of thing. I use this as an exercise to pick characters that should be in video games and haven't been thus far, really.
Right, yeah.
And just imagining them in a fun fighting context and with power-ups and things that are relevant to their characters. I thought this would be perfect for these characters.
Absolutely. And I like the lightheartedness of them, because we both picked some serious characters too, like right. Paul Atreides for me and the Crow for you. But I like the lighthearted nature of, if you've played Smash Brothers, you know that there is definitely a playful side to it. It's not really a hardcore serious fighting game a la Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It's a little bit jokey. It's light fare. And I think characters like the ones you're mentioning, characters like Jack Burton, I think fit really well into that that kind of environment, that kind of experience. I keep saying experience. I keep seeing setting. And I've said motif a couple times in this episode. So anybody listening can take a shot anytime they hear one of those words if they want. But, yeah, I mean, I think, again, it suits the aesthetic.
Yeah, definitely. And in that same spirit, I don't know about you, but I have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
That almost made the cut.
All right.
One of them is Buck Rogers calling on Twicky for his special attack.
Nice.
Also his sidekick. It's kind of the similar idea as the Michael Knight and Bionic Woman. Fuck. Is it Bionic Woman?
Yep. Okay. Bionic Woman.
Choices. And the other one I thought of, and it'd be a little harder to execute, but very satisfying for us and maybe three other people in the world, would be Ernest and Vern.
Oh, fuck. That's, oh my God.
I just picture like the screen filling up with like the big window slamming down on his fingers on his opponent's fingers or something.
And all of his, he could have so many attacks in different characters.
Yeah.
All of a sudden yep. He turns into, you know, Uncle Lloyd or whatever. Hey, what yeah. are you doing? You know, oh my God, so much potential.
Was it his mother or whoever the old woman character with
yeah.
the neck
Those
brace?
Those steps might as well be Mount Everest. Yeah. Like, yeah, that lady.
Perfect.
Oh man, I'm so on board with that. Absolutely. So, is that?
Those are me.
Okay, yeah. So I wasn't necessarily super prepared to talk about honorable mentions, but since you mentioned Ernest, I have to mention Pee-wee.
Of course.
And again, all of the special attacks and the backup stuff and the extras with the character are built right into the show.
Yeah.
You've got the most beautiful lady in Puppet Land. You've got Cowboy Curtis. You've got Cherry and Conky and all the rest.
Yep.
My Even God.
He could ride around in his crazy scooter and screw somebody over that way.
Oh, my God. Whatever. It's perfect.
Yep.
So, I mean, I had that. I also had... So that's a lot more fun than this one. The other one that I had was because, again, I ended up trying to pick somebody, characters from different pieces of pop culture. So two that I missed, one was animated. And the character that I missed out on there that I thought about was Dark Wolf from Fire and Ice.
Oh, right.
He had a very serious character.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one was from pro wrestling. And that was the Ultimate Warrior, which we talked about.
Yep.
The Ultimate Warrior is not necessarily my favorite pro wrestler. There's been a lot of good ones over the years or whatever. but I can't think of one that more perfectly fits in to this kind of thing.
Definitely.
Than the Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
That's all I got.
That'll do it for our main topic, but there's a bit more video game related fun to be had. Why don't you tell us about it?
So over the weekend, I watched the third season of Castlevania.
Already? Wow.
The Netflix animated show. Well, the first season is only 4 episodes.
Right.
It's essentially one feature length, you know, I mean, it's 25 to 30 minutes per episode. So don't overthink it. the total, I think, of the show is like 22 episodes, 3 seasons, 22 episodes. So it's very consumable. And that's actually the point. So backtrack now. I watched season 3. Very good. Very adult cartoon, in case anybody's wondering. I mean, not that, listen, I enjoy plenty of kid cartoons. Believe me, I do. This one's definitely not for kids. In addition to all the blood and guts, there's a three-way with a brother and sister and a half vampire. You know what I mean? There's a lot going on. So
perfect.
But it's good because, first of all, it shows that you can do a lot in half-hour time slots. Like, not everything has to be this extended story.
Right.
And it's very consumable because it's these half-hour episodes and the seasons are relatively short. They do kind of what I talk about. Like, we had a conversation months ago about what is the ideal length of a TV show in terms of number of episodes or whatever. And my answer was as many as it takes to tell the story. Not everything needs to be 20 episodes. Not everything should be. I don't want to assign an ideal. And this show manages to tell a good story in the number of episodes that they give you and the time that it takes to tell each individual episode, to show you each individual episode. And it comes to a nice conclusion, the story, while leaving you enough threads to keep moving forward with it, but without feeling like they're leaving you kind of on edge or, you know, on the edge of a cliff, I guess.
Right.
Because sometimes the show, I always worry about that because you never know how long a show is going to survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, all these legacy shows, all these high level shows want to like keep pushing the story arc forward all the time.
Right.
But this has a nice little, this puts a nice little bow on things at the end. But leaves enough to move forward, but you feel like you still have reached a nice conclusion. So anyway, it's a really good show. I highly recommend it. You don't have to be a huge fan of the video games. You don't really have to know what the video games are all about. I'm familiar with the games. I haven't really played them that much. But Castlevania, on its own merits, is a really good animated series.
Look forward on a Netflix near you. That'll bring this episode of the Nerd Bomber Podcast to a close. I have been your friend Claude.
And I have been just Jamie.
And if you're still somehow able to feel lucky in any way, all of us here at Nerd Bomber want to wish you the most socially distant St. Patrick's Day you've ever encountered.
Happy St. Patrick's Day!
Goodbye, everybody.
Later!
The Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.